I invite you to be with me now in a spirit of prayer. Loving God, we know that you are where we are. We are listening, hungry for a word from you. So open our ears, our hearts, our minds. May we hear your word in the midst of my words, and may your truth motivate us to act. Amen. Inextricably interwoven is a phrase you've heard me use before. Yes, it's a mouthful, but I like the way it sounds. And more importantly, I like the way it so aptly describes how certain things are connected when we read about them in the pages of Scripture. For example, in Scripture, waiting and hoping are always inextricably interwoving. Trusting and obeying, privilege and responsibility, to whom much is given, much is required. These things are connected, inseparable. And as we focus our attention today on the Ten Commandments, we will discover something else that is inextricably interwoven, and that is promise and law. You may remember that God made a promise, a covenant, with Abraham and his people. God promised Abraham, "You shall have many descendants." God promised Abraham, "You shall have a special relationship with me." And God promised Abraham, "You shall experience a land flowing with milk and honey, a land filled with all sorts of good things." Promises. But something was missing. Barbara Brown Taylor, in her wonderful sermon on the Ten Commandments entitled Peculiar Treasures, writes, "Promises without law is like a tent without tent pegs." I like that image. The Hebrew people wandering in the wilderness needed a tent with tent pegs in order to survive. And so do we. Think about it. A tent without tent pegs is just a big, heavy tarp, which may serve a purpose, but I certainly wouldn't want to live under a big, heavy tarp for any length of time. It would take my breath away. It would weigh me down. It wouldn't help me live. The law, the commandments, the rules about which Pastor Kim just talked, those are the tent pegs. And God's law, it's not burdensome, it's beautiful. If you were listening carefully as Psalm 19 was read, you heard the law described in this way. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. And the commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. God made a covenant with the Hebrew people, an awesome promise. And God has done the same with us. In order to experience that promise in all of its fullness, God's law needs to be written on our hearts and embodied in our living every single day. God invites us into a relationship with these commandments, a relationship that needs to be tended with great care in order to survive. So how does this all begin? Our reading reminds us that God felt the need to remind the Hebrew people of who he was and what he had done for them. In a sense, establishing God's authority before giving the commandments that would need to follow. What does God say? "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." Now, giving these Ten Commandments on the top of Mount Sinai, or sometimes called Mount Horeb, was filled with fanfare and drama. Thunder, lightning, trumpet blasts, smoke from the mountaintop. Let's just say that God knew how to get human attention. Moses received these living words from God with awe, with fear and trembling, with reverence. The first commandment is one that reminds us of who we are in relationship to God. In many respects, it is the commandment on which the other nine hang and from which they emanate. It's a commandment that reminds us that God is God and we are not. The commandments set boundaries that do not hem us in, but rather allow us, urge us to think creatively and live generously, to embrace freedom. Not freedom from responsibility, but freedom that claims responsibility for the well-being of our neighbor. The first four commandments, usually the ones that are depicted on the first tablet of stone, are all about our relationship with God. God says, "You shall have no other gods before me." No idols. And we're not just talking here about graven images and statues. No using my name wrongfully. Oh, and remember the Sabbath. Keep it holy. With regard to these commandments, I can tell you, if I had a dollar for every time someone used the name of God wrongfully, as an expletive, in anger, or so lightly that God is diminished and rendered meaningless, let's just say I'd have a tidy sum by now. And as I think about that commandment to remember the Sabbath, it occurs to me that if we were to do a better job of remembering the Sabbath, of ceasing and desisting from our usual routine long enough to be still, to listen for God, to express gratitude, then keeping the other nine commandments wouldn't seem nearly so difficult. The Ten Commandments are laws of love that help us, that enable us to live well in community. Let's face it, a community needs rules. Without rules, there would be utter chaos. People would get hurt. Okay, yes, people get hurt when there are rules, but that's usually because we ignore the rules or we disagree on how they should be interpreted. A recent poll of the American public revealed that among those who acknowledge the Bible as the Word of God, at least in some way, only a tiny percentage could name as many as four of the Ten Commandments. Which may be why Jesus felt the need to summarize the Ten Commandments into two great commandments that beautifully capture the essence of what was communicated to Moses atop Mount Horeb. Jesus summarized all Ten Commandments by pointing to just two Old Testament teachings. On tablet one, the one that has the four commandments relating to God, love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. How? By loving God above all others. By not worshiping idols. By not using God's name wrongly. And by remembering the Sabbath. And then there's tablet two with the other six commandments. It gets summarized in Jesus' words, love your neighbor as yourself. How? Honor your elders. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't lie. Don't covet. Every type of community has rules, many of them unwritten. Think about that for a moment. Families have rules about what to talk about at the dinner table. What not to say to Uncle Henry when he comes, how to treat the neighbor, you know what I'm talking about. Teams have rules, clubs have rules, And yes, churches have rules, many of them not written down, but everyone seems to know them. The rules are based on a context, and sometimes that context changes. So too must the unwritten rules. Something I suspect we are all very aware of during this pandemic, as we attempt to navigate and find our way when everything around us has changed. So how has that impacted our rules here at church? Well, the new rules say we will not sing together when we are in groups of people. There will be no hugging when we pass the peace, no passing of the offering plate, no sharing communion by dipping bread into a common cup or while sitting shoulder to shoulder in pews while elements are passed in front of you. We will wear masks. We will sanitize our hands. We will keep our distance. As the rules around us change, and they will, and they'll keep changing, it is vitally important that we hold on to the rules that remain forever the same. Rules that get to the very heart of what being in community is all about. Rules that are life-generating and life-sustaining, that reflect loving God with our whole being and our neighbor as ourselves. We need rules, because without them, we become aimless and we sin. The good news is God has provided us with rules that are life-giving, not burdensome, not punitive, not cruel, not rules for the sake of having rules. The invitation to each of us as people of faith is to embrace those rules, with God's help, of course, because not a one of us can keep them all by ourselves. And as for these rules, let me just make an observation. Carving these commandments in stone on public buildings isn't going to make us as individuals or our country better, but living these commandments certainly will. Amen.